Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
So as we begin this morning on our message, we continue our study on the foundations of the family. Every February, we talk about the family. It's family month, and we do it from different perspectives each and every year. And this year, we're talking about the foundations of the family as found in the book of Ephesians, chapters 5 and 6. And Paul has been talking about the body of Christ, the church, how it functions in his letter to the Ephesians. He is, I classify this book as a book about bodybuilding. It's building the body of Christ. And he's talking about how the body is put together. And he started out really wide as the entire body, and then he's coming into the family in these two sections. And then in chapter 6, he goes to the individual, because all of us play a part of this. We're part of the larger body of Christ. Our families are part of the core of that. And then as individuals, we lock arms together as the body of Christ. And we've been looking at this over the last couple of weeks, but it's all founded on verses 18 to 21 of chapter 5. And I want to make sure we hear that this morning as I've been doing this every week, because this is the foundation of what we're talking about. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, always giving thanks for everything to God, to the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, I say every week, he starts off, don't get drunk, period. That's the way it is. We don't get drunk. We only are controlled by the Spirit. That's who we're controlled by. And the only way to do anything that we're talking about in this family is through the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to be able to live the way that God calls us to. We can't do it on our own. We just can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need one another. We need the body of Christ. We need to be able to help one another in our walks with the Lord. And so nothing that Paul talks about in this passage can be done without the power of the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in our lives. But also the underlying foundation of this is that we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because he loved us and we submit to each other. And so last couple of weeks, first week we talked about submission and how wives are to submit to their husbands in the home, and that has gotten a bad rap, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago, so you can hear me make that statement. You might go, ew, I get it. That's what our society says. Go back and listen to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We don't have time to go through over that this morning. Last week we talked about the call of the husbands to give himself up for his wife. That's what it is. That's fun. All right, moving on. You heard nothing. All right. But talking about how a husband relates to his wife and how he gives himself up for his wife and loves her as Jesus gave himself up for the church. Crazy, crazy call. And we talked about that last week. And now this week, we are talking about the foundation of honor in the family and why it's so important, why honoring is so important. Let's be honest. Honoring is not something that we do a lot these days, huh? In fact, we see a lot more dishonor than we see honor. All we have to do is turn on the news, listen to any politician. No one honors anyone, it seems, anymore. They don't. Unless you agree with everything a person is saying, you don't honor them. And so today we're focusing in on what it means to honor, specifically as obedience as children, but also as I got to thinking about it, I'm like, we're all kids here. We've all been, we're a child of someone. Honoring is important. And so Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So what does it actually mean to honor someone? What does it actually mean to put honor onto somebody else? Well, to honor someone means to show them high respect, esteem, and admiration by valuing them highly. This is kind of the definition I got from, you know, the AI bots we have now. Acknowledging their worth and treating them with dignity, which can involve praising their achievements, upholding their memory after death, respecting their boundaries, it's an interesting one, giving them preference or high regard in actions, even if you disagree with them. It's about lifting them up through words and behavior, recognizing their inherent value as a person. Wow, the AI actually got that pretty right. But in the Bible, honor means to esteem, value, and show great respect to God and others, reflecting their God-given worth. That's what the Bible would tell us. It's often demonstrated through actions, obedience, and giving them importance. In fact, the Hebrew word kabod in Hebrew means, get this, weightiness. A weightiness. It involves an internal attitude of reverence and an outward expression of high regard, recognizing the value God places in people and even in institutions. I love the fact that there's a weightiness to honor. Sometimes we honor a person because of what they've done. Unfortunately for me, the Seattle Seahawks last week. We have so many people that we honor. We have so many award shows for music and movies and creativity. And I mean, there's awards for everything where we honor people and what they've accomplished in different fields, right? We honor people with a Nobel Peace Prize. Then physics, chemistry, physiology, or medicine, literature, and peace for accomplishments in those areas that confer the greatest benefit to all of mankind. We honor people that do that. We're in the middle of the Olympics. I love the Olympics. The song, wherever it goes, you know, I mean, I love that song. It's like every time I hear it, it's like goosebumps right away. Oh, I love the Olympics. I love seeing people give everything they've got. It's 4 years of hard work and grit and guts and just everything they've got. And they put it all into this one like performance or race or whatever it looks like. It is so awesome. And I love that there are some people that their only thing, that their goal was to get to the Olympics. And that was it. And that was their honor. That they got to compete in the Olympic Games. I love it even more when somebody gets up there and it's just this big failure. I love it, the Summer Olympics. I remember there was a father whose his son was running the race and he just cramped up and he couldn't finish. And dad runs down to the racetrack and he helps him finish the race. That is an honor. That's so awesome to see stuff like that. And then the medal ceremonies. I tell you, every time I see the American flag and the Star-Spangled Banner played and they got a gold medal, man, tears come to my eyes. Because I can't imagine what it's like for that individual to be able to represent their country and be able to get an honor like that. We honor those in a position. We honor leaders too. Simply because they hold the position. We honor the position, not necessarily the person. We have a problem with that sometimes, don't we? We have a problem with that today. It's not like it started today though. We have plenty of time. I mean, I remember that back in, I forget, it was late, like 2010, somewhere in there when President Obama was president. I had a friend that worked at the White House. He was in the Air Force, and he was kind of the White House cable guy, literally. He would run cables, but he was also on his advance team. And so he was there with President Bush and with President Obama. And he would go out and make sure all of the technical stuff was set up for whatever his trip was going to be. So the cameras worked and the teleprompters worked and all that kind of stuff. And President Obama was coming to GM at the Rinsen to do a big rally it was a Democratic rally. And he was coming to town. He says, hey, you want to come in and get a front row ticket? I'm like, yes, I would. And so I got to go, Jeannie and I got to go, and we got to stand behind the podium for a minute, get a picture behind it that he was going to speak at. And then I got the opportunity, actually I got to shake President Obama's hand. And then Scran, I yelled out, I'm praying for you, Mr. President. He stopped, he looked at me, and he said, thank you, I need that. And then I came back home and told people about it, and people are going, I'd never shake his hand. Dishonor. I didn't agree with a lot of his policies. It was still an honor to meet the President of the United States, no matter who it was. And see, our problem in our society today is that we dishonor everywhere. We just throw it around because we think we're right about everything anymore. We have no humility anymore. And we dishonor people by our words, by our actions, and by our social media posts. We dishonor so many people. But the Bible called us to honor specific people. And I was like, who are we called to honor? Well, first of all, we've already learned this to a degree, but we're called to honor our spouse. Not just Paul in Ephesians, but Peter in 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I'm going to stop there for a second. This is another way we dishonor our wives. Because so many men read this and their first comment is, like, that's possible. I'm sorry, guys, it's not a joke. I didn't plan on saying that this morning. This is bonus material. But I hear guys say that. Knock it off. We can live in understanding with our wives when empowered by the Holy Spirit because we love them and give ourselves up for them as Christ died for the church. We've got to stop just throwing around jokes like we think it's funny. It's not always funny. We can dishonor even in our joking. Moving on. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And that has nothing to do with priority or with value. It's more about physical stature from what I see there. Men, we're supposed to protect our wives. That's what we do. Guy coming at you with a pipe? Take the pipe. All right? Since there are heirs with you of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. You're telling me if I dishonor my spouse, my prayers can be hindered? Yes. It affects your relationship with the Lord. It absolutely does. Honoring is important here. Ephesians 5:33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We honor our spouse by our actions, our attitudes, and our care for one another. Honoring your spouse is submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's doing the dishes. It's vacuuming. It's mowing the lawn. It's changing the oil. We honor in the mundane things of life. It's not just flowers yesterday, which, by the way, it was Valentine's Day if you missed it, guys. It's not in the, though that's part of it. The honoring is when you don't have to. The honoring is, yeah, I see that the trash wants to go out, but I'm tired and I don't want to take it. If I don't do it, my wife will do it. I have that thought, okay? And Jeannie goes, I knew it! It's the honoring in the moments, even when you don't want to. That's honoring. You're going to love this one. Your boss. We're supposed to honor our boss, those in authority at work. 1 Timothy 6:1, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Yeah, we honor our boss so that the name of Jesus can be honored in your life at the workplace. And let me tell you something. When you honor your boss when they don't deserve it, the name of Jesus gets even greater. Because we do it out of reverence for him, not because of what our boss is like. The other side of this is Christians should be the hardest working and the least dramatic employees in the workplace. And how often is that actually true? Because we dishonor. We want what we want. We want to make sure that we are heard all the time. How are we dishonoring at the workplace? Yeah, we're supposed to honor those who are in governmental authority. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You do good in that. Romans 13:7, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Yeah, we're called to honor those in authority over us. We have a unique society here that wasn't necessarily the case in Rome when Paul wrote that. We have an opportunity to have a voice. We can have a voice that is disagreeing to the opposite, to the side that we don't agree with, but we don't have to disagree in a way that is dishonoring. There's a way to do it and still honor Jesus. We're supposed to honor those who are older. Leviticus 19:32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear God, I am the Lord. There's a tale from Grimm's Fairy Tales. Once there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled when he ate. He clattered the silverware distressingly, missed his mouth with a spoon as often as not, and dribbled a bit of his food on the tablecloth. Now he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife didn't like the arrangement. I can't have this, she said. It interferes with my right to happiness. So she and her husband took the old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they sat him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day his hands trembled rather more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. If you are a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you must eat out of a trough. And so they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a 4-year-old son of whom they were very fond. One evening, the young man noticed his boy was playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. I'm making a trough, he said, smiling up for approval, to feed you and mama out of when I get big. The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. They cried a little. Then they went to the corner and took the old man by the arm and led him back to the table. They sat him in a comfortable chair, gave him his food on a plate, and from then on, nobody ever scolded when he clattered or spilled or broke things. And that sounds, you know, of course, it's a fairy tale. And yet, how do we treat those that are older around us? Right? That's something to all of us. We need to honor those and the others in the body of Christ. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. This is my picture always in this verse. It's like, let me get the door for you. No, let me get the door for you. And you're actually fighting over who can actually open the door for each other. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be honoring one another like that. No, let me, no, let me, no, let me, no, let me. Not get mine, get mine, get mine. We're supposed to be almost fighting to honor the other person more. Outdo one another in showing honor. The leadership of the church, we're called to honor. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It's another time where I feel like this is a self-serving part of Scripture that I'm about to talk about, but it's something that we all have to understand and we're called to do in the body of Christ. Those that are elders and pastors and those in leadership, deacons and staff, as they serve, honor them. They're taking your spiritual life seriously as those who will one day stand at account for your spiritual life. Not necessarily how you lived, but I know the weight that I carry when it comes to this position, that I'm responsible for teaching the word. And every time I get up here on a Sunday, I want to make sure that it's what God has to say, not my opinion, because I will stand at account one day for that. As will deacons, as will staff, as will the elders of our church. It's something that I consider how I lead the church here and as we lead the church as a whole. And so I ask you to continue to pray for the leadership here. And yes, I ask you to pray for me. I do ask that because I need it. The enemy is always attacking. I can't do what I'm called to do without keeping my eyes on Jesus. Pray for Jules, our gathering director. Pray for our elders in the church. Come and hear what's happening tonight at 5 o'clock. When the elders ask for that, that's something important that we look at when it comes to honor. To say, yeah, I care enough about our church to hear where we're going and I have questions. If I have questions, I'm going to honor you with my question rather than talk about you in my gossip. We honor those in authority, not when they're abusive. Don't hear that. But we honor those in authority in the church. And then we honor our parents. That's what we're at. That's the core of what we're talking about today. Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust. His famous book is called Man's Search for Meaning. He has a lot of readers ask him why he didn't escape what was in store for him after Hitler had occupied Austria. He answers by recalling this story. Shortly before the United States entered World War II, I, Viktor Frankl, received an invitation to come to the American consulate in Vienna to pick up my immigration visa. My old parents were overjoyed because they expected that I would soon be allowed to leave Austria. I suddenly hesitated, however. The question beset me that could I really afford to leave my parents alone to face their fate, to be sent sooner or later to a concentration camp or even to a so-called extermination camp? Where did my responsibility lie? Should I foster my brainchild, the logotherapy, by immigrating to fertile soil where I could write my books? Or should I concentrate on my duties as a real child, the child of my parents who had to do whatever he could to protect them? I pondered the problem this way and that, but couldn't arrive at a solution. This was the type of dilemma that made one wish for a hint from heaven, as the phrase goes. It was then that I noticed a piece of marble lying on a table at home. When I asked my father about it, he explained that he had found it on the site where the National Socialists had burned down one of the largest synagogues. He had taken the piece home because it was part of the tablets on which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. One gilded Hebrew letter was engraved on that piece. My father explained that this letter stood for one of the commandments. Eagerly I asked, which one is it? He answered, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land. At that moment, I decided to stay with my father and mother upon the land and to let the American visa lapse. Wow. Honoring his parents. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And then back to Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It's one of the most famous passages in the Bible about children obeying parents. I have to tell you this morning, my friends, honor starts in the home. Honor starts in the home. How we honor our family, how we learn to honor our parents, will then translate into how we honor or dishonor those around us. Children are first told to obey their parents. They're told to obey. How are they supposed to do it? In the Lord, because it can only happen in the Lord. They're taught to obey their parents. We're going to speak about this next week, but it also goes to how parents are parenting in the Lord. Why should the children obey? Because it's right. Because it's right. Do children obey automatically, by the way? It's just ingrained in them, right? We know that kids are just angels right out of the womb. And we can see that kid that there is no evil in any kid ever. Ever. Right. It's natural for a child to be selfish. It's natural for us to be selfish. They want to get what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And it's hard to decipher. It's one of the biggest proofs that we as human beings are selfish and desire what we want. Because we don't have to learn to be selfish. We have to learn to obey. That first comes out often in sharing things with others. That usually goes well, right? First time your son or daughter has to, you had to learn how to share with somebody else. I struggle with that today. Sharing the road, right? I mean, that's what we can struggle with sharing the road. And a baby learns how to get what he or she wants, and I'm convinced they play us as parents. They play us. They get what they want. Got to hear this morning. Children don't have to be taught disobedience. They have to be taught the gospel. They have to be taught the gospel. And it's also the natural order of things that children should obey, learn and obey from their parents. Virtually every culture and society is built on this premise, that children are expected to respect and obey their parents. When this is absent, it's a sign of degradation and laziness within a culture. Remember that list that was part of those, we were in Romans a while back, Romans chapter 1, there's a list of people that do not follow God and are going to be given over to a debased mind. Listen to Romans 1:30. They're slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. This is not a small issue. Being disobedient to parents is an indicator that you do not follow Jesus Christ. The The reality is we're all children of somebody here today. As Galinda in Wicked sings about with Elphaba, and no one mourns the wicked. She had a father. She had a mother, as so many people do. The reality is we all have a father or a mother, whether it's whether we know them, whether we have a relationship with them. I understand that we are stepping into a situation where there is all kinds of different stories in this room when it comes to our parents. Okay? So know that. Know that I understand that, and know that God understands that. But something I want to mention is if you're still living with your parents and you're dependent upon them, this command is actually for you. It's for all of us, but it's for you too. You are to obey your parents. I realize that most of the elementary and younger kids are in River Kids this morning, so I'm not necessarily talking to them. But those of you who are teenagers, college students, still living at home, you're listening to me today, you have a responsibility to obey your parents. You're like, what? Obey? Seriously? It changes as you get older. I get it. It does. But when you're dependent upon them for so much, you need to follow their rules when you live in their house. It really is that simple. They set the rules for their home. I'm sure you've heard the statement, as long as you're under my roof. It rings true. No matter your age. No matter your age.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because you're living in your parents' home. You're a part of it even as you get older. They set the rules for their home. They still bear a responsibility for you if you're still living there. But there's a bigger point here. Because if you depend on your parents as a teenager, a college student, or even beyond, it's honoring to your parents to abide by their rules. It's honoring to them. Because you need the help. You want to honor them as they help you. They're sacrificing for you continually. You honor them by abiding by what they ask you to do. Now again, it's never an excuse for abuse. Never an excuse for abuse. But I also want to throw out there, I was listening to the Dave Ramsey podcast recently, and a college student called in stating financial abuse because their parents were requiring them to pay rent and contribute to food costs in order for them to stay at home. That's not abuse. Duh. But we classify so many things as abuse now. If I don't like it, abuse. I don't want to downplay the abuse that's probably in this room this morning. Don't hear me say that. But don't overplay it either. Don't overplay it either. Because different families have different abilities to help adult children. We honor our parents by abiding by their rules and helping the family when able. That's part of being in a family. And there's a promise to this. That your life will go well and that you will live long. That's one of those duh statements. If you listen to your parents, it's probably going to help you out. For the most part. Because if you obey and honor your parents, you're going to learn life lessons. You're going to grow up into maturity. You'll live longer because your parents will save you from mistakes that they made if you'll listen and honor them. You can be spared bad decisions, spared bad relationships when you listen to your parents. It's wise to listen to your parents. Again, but if you're in a situation where your parents aren't following the Lord, it's a different worldview, they're telling you to do things that are apart from God, that's when you would be right in not obeying. But let me tell you this, the honor doesn't stop. When Jeannie and I were wanting to get married back in 1999, so even our marriage is like in the 90s. If you do one of those memes that, when were you born? 19? And they show you the Jurassic Park or whatever, you know. Yeah, yeah. You're laughing too much. You know, that's not cool. But we got married in 1999. And somewhere 98, 99, we were talking to Jeannie's parents about when to get married. And we wanted to get married in August of 99 because it was like it was going to be before my senior year. Jeannie was working and we wanted to get married, right? We didn't want to wait a full year. And Jeannie's parents said, but we think, Josh, you should have the majority of your schooling done. And it would be easier for family. We would have a Christmas wedding in December. And man, Jeannie and I for like a month just talked. And I'm like, we were both like, this stinks, right? We were not happy about it. We wanted to get married when we wanted to get married. And finally, after talking about it for a few weeks, we finally said, you know what? We've got to honor your parents. We may not agree, but if we want God's blessing on our marriage, on our wedding, we've got to honor your parents. And so we said, we'll get married in December if that's what you think is best. And so we started planning some stuff, and they looked at some decorations, and then all of a sudden, the whole family, nobody could come at Christmas. Guess when they could come? In August. And yet, so we got married when we wanted to, but that's not the moral of the story. We wanted to honor them, and in doing so, I pray, and I think they would tell you, they saw a maturity in us that they wanted to see, that they were concerned about. And it was a beautiful wedding. It was awesome. And we all rejoiced. There was no in-between. There was no animosity. There was none of that because of a choice to honor that wasn't really easy. And I don't say that to build us up. I say that to say we have so many problems in life because we dishonor people. And I don't think we got to get married because in August because that happened. And yet, God loves to bless his people. And we often put ourselves in a position where he can't bless us because we dishonor. I mean, disobedient, dishonoring children are much more apt to make decisions that will harm themselves and bring ruin for life. Proverbs 4:10, hear my son and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. This is a tough one. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. That's a pretty picture. Whew. You know, I had the privilege of spending 17 years in youth ministry. And there were many times that students would come and talk to me about this very issue. So many students would come to Jesus, and ultimately their parents didn't want Jesus. I had parents tell me at times that their kids had enough Jesus in youth ministry. Broke my heart. But some students had times when they would give their parents attitude, as teenagers do at times. Every teenager does. And then it would be thrown back at them in their home that, man, you're not being a good Christian. Some had parents that were alcoholics. Some couples were yelling all the time, and others were going through a divorce. Others were divorced and were trying to get their child to choose a side. I saw a lot in student ministry. How do you honor that? The call is to honor even if it's not deserved. You don't obey anything that's sin or draws you away from God, but honoring is not an option. They had to focus on their relationship with Jesus, to ask him for help to see their parents as he does, even when it's hard. That's a lot to expect from a teenager. And yet, again, what's the foundation of all of this? The Spirit of God. It's not our ability. It's not my ability to do this. It's the Holy Spirit living in and through us. To be able to honor those parents even when they don't deserve it. Why would we do that? Because we hope to reach them, even them, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of honoring. If we dishonor, we have no standing there. See, obedience is about listening under your parents in this stage. Everyone can learn something from your parents, whether it's a positive or a negative example. Honoring is a choice. See, we honor our parents in order to truly honor God and represent him. We honor our parents in order to truly honor God and to represent him. That's what I want you to remember this morning. Let's get that on the screen if it's not up there yet. If we can get that up there. Honor your parents in order to truly honor God and represent him. Because is there any way that your parents will see Jesus if you dishonor them? Any way at all? No, there isn't. The lines of communications are done. Or if you dishonor anyone in the group that I spoke about earlier. When we dishonor people, we shut down avenues for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shut down influence to help people see who Jesus really is. Here's the real hard thing. Jesus is our example, right? The people that put him on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's our example in honoring. Jesus still called out the religious leaders when they needed to be called out. He called them a brood of vipers. He threw down when the time was right. We have to honor well. See, because of when we dishonor, people see that Jesus isn't worth honoring because of our dishonor. We learn to honor as children, and it stays with us in our lives. Again, it can be hard to honor your parents when they don't deserve honor, but let's be honest. There are many things about me that don't deserve honor as a father. I am so far from perfect. I want to invite you into my history a little bit, my story. You know some of the story. Some of you do. Some of you haven't heard any of it. I was even telling Jeannie, I felt like I needed to share this, but I also don't want to dishonor my parents as I share, right? I want to be careful in how I share because I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for the influence of my parents in different ways. My dad was a very angry man. From the age of two, I just remembered him being angry. He weighed 800 pounds my entire life and was bedridden. That was a tough one. It was just tough overall. I remember my parents never got a divorce, but they lived like they were and never talked. My dad never got out of the house, never saw me play sports. It was a tough one. I even acted at school like I didn't have a dad because that was sometimes easier. But now as an adult, I look back and I try to honor him by trying to understand what he was going through. He had severe depression. He was on Prozac all the time. And he wasn't able to deal with it. In some ways, I'm thankful that I got a master's degree in pastoral counseling because it helped me understand where my parents were coming from. Honestly, sometimes I think that education was more to help me than it was to help others, even though God uses it to help others too. And so with my dad, it was hard to honor, and yet even at his funeral, I was able to stand up. And the week before he died, God gave me an opportunity, and I was actually able to tell my dad that I loved him, and I actually meant it for probably the first time in a decade. I didn't know he was going to die that next week. God gave me that opportunity. And then things with my mom were always interesting. My mom loved me. She had me at church every time it was possible. She would say that the whole reason I'm in ministry, she claimed it all the time. That's me. That's what she used to say. I prayed for you from the time you were born. I was like Hannah in the temple. You know? That's why you're a pastor. She claimed it all the time. I went, thanks, Mom. But she prayed for me. She had me in the church. She worried about me. But there were times when she'd be like, you know, you're all I'm living for. That was a tough one, you know. And I had my problems as a teenager. I wasn't perfect. I was far from it. But up until I graduated high school, man, I knew my mom loved me. I never questioned whether or not my mom loved me. But as an adult child, my mom could never figure out how to have a relationship with an adult child. She just couldn't. Tried to have conversations, and they just never went well. And then she got remarried and I think it was 2012, somewhere around there, maybe 2011, to an individual. I don't know if he ever knew the Lord. Broke my heart. I didn't know, you know. And long story short, again, this is just reality. She never really got to know either of my daughters. I have a 21-year-old that's about to graduate this spring from Cornerstone and a junior who's at Oakland Christian, and she's 16. And I think she saw Kylie, my older daughter, about 5 to 7 times and met Sydney twice. But in the meantime, traveled to China and Tahiti and just went all over the world with her new husband. That was difficult to honor. And there were moments I had to even protect my girls' hearts from that because she would change plans and had them crying and there was different things that happened. So I had to be careful with that. I had to have real conversations with her, you know. And her husband died in 2019, her husband died. And then COVID happened and through circumstances ended up moving her into assisted living from here. And she was in California trying to care for her the best I can. In the meantime, she's just calling me and telling me, I'm doing a terrible job and I don't want to be here and you're making decisions I don't like, but she has dementia. And so, you know, I'm mourning the relationship that we could have had because now it's not possible because now she has dementia. She doesn't even know what she's saying, but it still hurts. For those of you going through that with a parent, I'm sorry. It's hard. I know. And I found myself mourning the relationship that I wished we would have had with my kids. And then it got to a point where she was just in such a bad state that we had to move her to Michigan. And so we did in 2021. Real hard year. Real hard year. And I didn't do awesome. You know, I tried to love her, but I got frustrated more often than I didn't. And I tried. Jeannie was a godsend all that year. But that whole time I prayed, God, help me honor my mom. I don't know if I'm doing it well, but help me honor my mom. Because I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for her. She ended up passing away in 2022. She fell so many times and ended up with a brain aneurysm. And then, of course, COVID got everybody at that point. So they just slapped COVID on there, you know, on the death certificate, which was helpful. Help pay for the funeral. But I even look back and I still mourn the relationship that could have been. But I pray that I honor my mom. I think I did. My attitude wasn't perfect. I hope I was an example for my girls. Honoring isn't always easy. But it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. And so in 2022, we flew out to California and spread her ashes at a lake up at Mount Shasta, because that's where she wanted her ashes spread. Had her funeral out there. Had some family come. Was able to spend time with them. Honor. Not always easy. But we honor our parents to truly honor God and to represent Him. I don't know what that looks like for you today. I don't know everybody's story here. You know, you get to a point in your life as an adult, you don't obey anymore. You ask for advice, and sometimes you get advice you don't want. And yet it's still wise for us to honor our parents by listening to them, because we can still learn. They have experience that we don't have. Now Jeannie's parents have become my parents, and I ask them for advice often because they've experienced things that I have and I still need to learn. That's true for all of us. I don't care if you're 80 or if you're 10. Honoring our parents. And again, that's hard, especially if there's been abuse. Maybe honoring is learning how to forgive. Again, only possible through the Holy Spirit. Forgiving never, but let me tell you, I want to classify this. Forgiveness isn't saying that what happened is okay. Forgiving is saying, I'm not going to hold it against you anymore, because it's like me drinking the poison hoping you die if I don't forgive. Honor our parents. Honor those people that are above us in authority, even when it's hard. Why? Because God's called us to do it. And we're going to struggle with it. We can only do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. It's the only way. Give what you're holding on to Him. You may never get an I'm sorry from your parents. That was one of the hardest things for me, is I never got an I'm sorry. Never got an apology. And that hurts. But she was still my mom. Still my dad. And I've grown to be thankful for them, because it wasn't all bad all the time. Who do you need to honor today? Is it a parent? Is it a sibling? Who do you need to forgive today so that you can honor the Lord? It's only through His Spirit that we can do it. Take it to the cross. God, You took this morning in a way that I didn't anticipate. Lord, every single one, I don't want to say every single one, most of us in this room are broken. We talk about honoring, and that's hard in our lives sometimes, if not all the time. Some stories in this room are hard. They carry a lot of pain, a lot of weight. For some of us in this room, those stories have dominated our lives. Lord, today I pray you'd bring healing. I pray there'd be freedom. I pray there could be forgiveness. And in a way that only your Spirit can do, that we would learn to honor even when it's hard. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Work in our hearts. Help us to honor you above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.